Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 389, stanzas 2 and 5. The enemy has sought my soul in dust to tread. To darkness I am brought, forgotten as the dead. My spirit crushed with grief is sad and overborne. My heart finds no relief, but desolate I mourn. 2 and 5 of Psalter 389.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the first book of Moses, Genesis chapter 3. But first, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, we have heard of the origin of our misery, all that must be experienced here below in this world, and knowledge that is withheld from so many because thy word that is not given to each man in this world, but to us and unto our children, as so that we may know from whence our misery comes, all the wretchedness, the tares of the field, the trials, the afflictions, the sorrows, and all that comes upon us each and every day. And we would throw off all affliction and all trial. We would have a life here below that is free from all tribulation. But it can never be, because that ground is cursed, and we have sinned against thee, against thy goodness, against thy love, against all thy knowledge, and we have been disobedient to thy command, thou shalt not eat of it, neither shalt thou touch it. Oh, we say it to our children, do not touch it, and they are disobedient. Oh, Lord, that thou may look upon us in thy mercy. Oh, for we have heard also of that which thou hast done in order to deliver thy church. It is that which thy church has looked forward to for now so many years. Oh, that thou may teach us out of thy law, that we may know how great our sins and our miseries are. That we may know a little bit of that fountain, the depth whereof cannot be known in this life. And thou wilt hide it from thy church for a never-ending eternity. But it shall be increasingly known to those who have no desire for thee, who have no need for thee, and who turn away from that which thou hast given. O Lord, the depth of our wretchedness, of our sin, of our evil, that is known to thee. But thou art also of a great depth of thought, O the depth of the riches, of the knowledge, of the wisdom of God, how unsearchable are his riches and his ways. They are past finding out, oh, that we may also enter a little into those riches, that knowledge of thee, that we may receive also that salvation that thou hast declared even from the moment of that fall, from that moment wherein man he has turned away, at that moment that thou thyself hast turned unto thy church. O Lord, that Thou wouldst deliver us and our children. Do show us the way, because the time that is short, and man, he goeth unto his long home, as we see and hear all about us. The sons of men, they go the way of all the earth. For time is like an ever-rolling stream, bearing all its sons away. Oh, that Thou may impress these matters upon the hearts of young and old. For it is soon going to be too late. And we are those who are careless upon this world, unless that we are stopped by Thee. Oh, then we need to be brought to our senses. Then we need to be given new life from the dead. We need to be given eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand. We need to be awakened out of our death sleep, that Thou may give Thy word to be as a sharp two-edged sword in this hour, in this day, that it may not go by us as so many days already in our life. That we have heard that word, and that it has made no saving impression upon our heart. O Lord, then for this we are so dependent upon Thee. Thou art the first one in the life of Thy children, because they are dead in sins and in trespasses by nature. And there is no hope and there is no help from the side of man. O Thou knowest it, Lord, from heaven, Thy dwelling place. There is no one that could deliver our first parents. They had to be silent in the judgment, and there was only a condemnation that was due unto them. But Thou, in Thy great goodness and Thy long suffering and Thy mercy, hast spoken so otherwise. Oh, Thou hast taken reasons out of Thyself for Thy own honor and for Thy own glory. And Thou art the same, O Lord, yesterday, today, and forever. And now we sit with our children in that corruption and in that mess that we have made for ourselves. Oh, we cannot deliver ourselves from it. Lord, we ask of Thee, O stretch Thou forth Thine hand, speak unto us and unto our children, send Thou forth Thy Holy Spirit, and unto us who have sinned against Thee and left Thee days without number, and we are not worthy of the least of Thy notice or Thy attention, and there is nothing but rebellion and wickedness living in the bottom of our hearts. O Lord, when Thou wilt not forgive, Thou canst only condemn. And then it is impossible but that we shall only glorify Thy justice in all our condemnation forever and forever. But wilt Thou look upon Thy dear Son this day? O that Thou may look upon that blood, O Lord, that Thou may see it and that Thou mayest have compassion. Amidst well-deserved wrath upon us and upon our dear children. For He has finished everything that was necessary to satisfy all Thy justice. Oh, Thou hast put it away for Thy church. May we experience also in this hour that Thou wouldst come from heaven, Thy dwelling place, and that Thou may give new life from the dead to both young and old. Touch the tender hearts when they are still young, or that they may arise from the dead, and that some may even be used in Thy kingdom as those that may go forth in the midst of the churches as office bearers and ministers to bring Thy word unto others, and that Thou Thyself may look upon fathers and mothers. They have a great task, and not only to care in an outward way, help them therewith, but wilt Thou give them what is necessary to bring up their children with an example which is before Thee. a godly walk in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation. Lord, we cannot give it unto ourselves, and we need it from Thee each and every day again. But wilt Thou look on us in Thy mercy, and do it for Thy great and holy name's sake? And wilt Thou remember all that are mourning and all those that sorrow? For Thou knowest the grief that lives within the heart. Oh, that Thou may supply when man cannot supply, but also when there is an approaching unto the gates of death. Oh, we can read it in Thy word. Then they cried unto Thee in their trouble, and Thou didst deliver them from all their distresses. Oh, then they glorified and they magnified Thy name. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, deliver him, Lord. Oh, could it please Thee to appear unto him, and that Thou may make it an easy way, or that Thou may remember wife and children together. Wilt Thou supply for them in these days, and that Thou may look upon all those that mourn, all those that suffer from serious diseases, because the fears, they are so very many. And when we become old also in the thoughts of death, and they are with us each and every day as we must approach closer and closer to our long home. Lord, the fears, they were in Thee too, even as a man in this world. Then Thou knowest what they are, and Thou art able to comfort them. Oh, that Thou may give what is necessary then in approaching unto that last enemy. And could it please Thee to take it away? Oh, that Thou that art able to make peace, that Thou may give it in the heart of those that fear. Remember those that have special needs in the midst of the congregation, of mind, of body, of family. All Thou knowest of business, there are so many thorns and so many thistles that we cannot take them all out. One is pulled away and another one grows in its place. O Lord, could it please Thee to draw to Thyself with that knowledge, with that confession of guilt and of sin, and that Thou may give a knowledge of Thee, because we read in Thy word that in Judah is God known, and His name is great in Israel. Oh, that it may be also amongst us as a people, and that it may be seen amongst us even as a people in the midst of a society in this world, and that they may be given to say, oh, amongst that people, God is known. Oh, that Thou may remember us also in the day of tomorrow, when there will be an appearing before the judge for the sake of our school not only, but also of many. Oh, that Thou may reign, Lord, and that Thou may show that Thou reignest, and that Thou may hear us from heaven, Thy dwelling place, to give us favor in the sight of this man, to turn the heart unto Thyself, and to deliver us from this threat. For Thou knowest all that comes against us. O Lord, we beseech Thee in Thy mercy to remember us, though that our sins arise up against us. Wilt Thou supply for each and every one? Lord, look upon us in this hour. Thou knowest all our need. Wilt Thou be on our right and on our left hand? Give us strength in the body. Give us wisdom in our mind. Give us simplicity for the sake of young and old together. And oh, that Thou Thyself may bring it in our heart where we cannot bring it. And wilt Thou give us yet to say that it was good to be together, for the Lord was in our midst. We ask it undeservedly for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 385 all the stanzas. Deliver me from evil. Preserve me, Lord, from wrong. Against the foes that gather, be thou my helper strong. And what follows, we wish to announce, the Lord willing, that there will be a TBS meeting at the school this Thursday, December 6th, which we heartily recommend for your support. The meeting is to begin at 7:30 p.m. with registration at 7 o'clock. 385, all the stanzas. beloved congregation. Today marks the beginning of the Advent season. What does Advent mean? Advent speaks about something that is coming into view, or something that is coming into its place. Thus, something that is arriving. Thus, very often with an advent of something, then there is anticipation. There is a looking forward into the future, what is going to happen. Anticipation that is very often the cause of very much sorrow, very much grief and fear. Some of God's children have died 1,000 deaths, we say. That is in fear of that last enemy, its advent, its coming. And then when that moment came, then they have also experienced something of how that the Lord is able to destroy that last enemy, Christ Himself, because He has looked forward and He has anticipated that coming death, that suffering. We read that His blood, that his sweat was as great drops of blood falling onto the ground. Anticipation that is often the cause of great suffering. Anticipation that is often also the cause of great relief from suffering. When a person may look unto the end of that suffering, when he may look to that suffering being taken away. So it was for the Church of God. For many, many years, when they have looked forward in anticipation to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. Because the Bible that says we are saved by hope. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, then most of the world was not in anticipation. Most of the world, they were not looking. They did not know, neither did they care. But we read of Simeon that it was very different. That he waited for the consolation of Israel. How is that possible? Well, because we read that it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Thus, it was revealed to him. Thus, there was a promise that was made to him, and because of this, then there was a great anticipation within his heart. That promise was necessary. Otherwise, he could not anticipate. And so that was with the church, even from the beginning. And then we can read of the promises of the coming of that Messiah, how that they have increased the knowledge of Him step by step throughout the whole Old Testament. And where did it begin? It began already, as we have read together in Genesis 3. And we wish to consider something of this with you in this hour with the Lord's help. Genesis 3 verse 15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So far the words of our text. The world's first declaration of war. First, the instigator of this war. Second, the declaration of this war. And third, the victory promised in this war. The world's first declaration of war. First, the instigator. Second, the declaration. And third, the victory promised. Warfare, congregation, is an awful thing. We don't know so much about this, but our parents and our grandparents, have been well acquainted with this, as so many persons also in the midst of this world. Many wars are unjust. Why is there war in the world, boys and girls? We know that sin is the cause of war. There was no war before sin came into the world. But there are wars that are completely unjust. There are some wars that are taking place just for honor and glory of majesties in this world, just for the extension of a kingdom to receive more territory and so on. But there are also wars that are fought for a good purpose. That is, they are fought for right, to uphold truth, and to defend those who are not able to defend themselves. When Nahash the Ammonite came against the men of Jabesh-Gilead, then we can read how that they said they were going to thrust out their right eyes. And then it was only right that Saul, he has declared war, and that he has demanded all the men of Israel, they come to help him to fight against Nahash. Where did war begin? There is not so much revealed to us about the first sin. That is the sin that took place in heaven. That is the sin of Satan in his rebellion against God. But actually we read in Revelation 12 that there was war in heaven. That is not so easy for us to understand. And also, not that John, when he spoke in Revelation 12 of war in heaven, was likely speaking about that fall of Satan in the very beginning. However, we do read that Jude says that the angels kept not their first estate. And John, he says that they abode not in the truth. And therefore, Peter, he says that God spared them not. He spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them, we read, down to hell. So this fall of Satan, that is a fall that has taken place after the creation, because the angels, they are children just like everyone else and everything else. The angels, they are spirits, but they are created spirits. Thus, they are made by God, and they were made by Him in the creation. So that fall that has taken place after the creation, but it has taken place before the fall of man. And now the Lord in our text, He says, I will put enmity. Thus, what is enmity? You hear the word, boys and girls, enemy in it. Another word for enmity that is hatred. So that is what is living in the heart of an enemy. And the Lord, He is speaking unto this same devil, Satan. You say He was speaking to the serpent, it says. That is true. And that serpent, because Satan, he has used him as an instrument, and he was complicit, as it were. The Lord, He has cursed also that animal. But ultimately, it was Satan himself who was here cursed by the Lord. And why? What had Satan done? Well, Satan, he had made an assault. He had made an assault on the human race in his enmity. But he didn't show children that he was an enemy. No, he pretended that he was a friend. That is one of the wiles of the devil. The Bible says he is as a wolf in the clothing of a sheep, or that he comes as an angel of light. And so he came here as an enemy to our first parents, but he pretends that he is a friend. And then you see his method. Because how does he attack? Well, what is his purpose? His purpose, that is, to come to attack Adam. Adam is the one who is holding the responsibility for his whole posterity. Adam is the head of the covenant of works. Thus, his attack is upon the Son of Man, and directly upon Adam. But he does not come to him directly. No, but he works in Eve. Thus he comes through that weaker vessel. A whole chain is failing at its weakest link. Thus, the most guard that must be made at the weakest point, an entire city that fails at the weakest part of the wall. Thus, what is our weakest part? What sin in us is that sin which we are most liable to fall through? He attacks through that weaker vessel. He attacks when? He attacks, young people, when she has gone near to that tree. Why are you there, Eve? Why do you go near to that tree? That tree that is forbidden to you from the Lord. The Lord has said, "Thou shalt not eat of it." Nay, the Lord has said more, "Thou shalt not even touch it." Is there sin then in touching? That is now to approach. And when she approaches unto that place, there is the devil. What does Solomon say? He says, "Walk not or enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass by it. Turn aside. Pass away." Because there, when she approaches into that place where she did not belong, maybe just out of curiosity, there is the devil. He sees that she is what? He sees that she is all alone. Good is society when it is good society, because a warfare, when it is fought, then we are looking for numbers. The strength of the army, that is in the multitude of that people. And when we may be in good society, then we may be kept also from much sin. And so the devil, he comes to Adam through his wife, through that most tender part that lives in him, where there is affection, where there is love, in a place that Adam, he would never suspect that something would come through his own wife. What does Paul say? He says, "What knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? What knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy husband?" Of what we see in Eve. "Oh, what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt be thyself an instrument for the fall of him whom thou lovest? What knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt be to the damnation of that most tender part in your whole life? Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" That is the way of Satan. What does the Lord Jesus call him, children? The Lord Jesus says he is the liar. But he says he is the liar from the beginning. And this is now the beginning that the Lord Jesus was speaking about. Here he began to spread his lies already at the beginning, misrepresenting that command of the Lord. Do you know what he first does? He makes Eve question. Says, "Is that really the command of the Lord? Or is that not maybe the command of the Lord? Did the Lord really command you this or no?" Skepticism. That is the gate of entrance to unbelief. First, he makes her to begin to doubt. And once she begins to doubt, and then he directly contradicts that command of the Lord. Do you know what he does? He denies that there is any danger in it. "Ye shall not surely die." Does the Lord do that too to you, children? When it is in your heart to sin, and then the devil, he says in your heart, "You will not be punished. You shall not surely die." He goes further. He says that there is actually an advantage for you. He says, "Your eyes shall be opened." That means your intellectual views, they shall be enlarged. You will begin to know more. You are now so very, very short-sighted. And you shall be as gods. You shall know good and evil. So he will make her discontent with that position, with that lot that the Lord has given unto her. He will make her ambitious of preferment, to make her desire a height that did not belong to her. Something that was not given, something that was not promised to her. That was Satan's own downfall. He has himself been cast out for that same reason. But what does he do? He hides his misery. He conceals it. He doesn't show it. And he makes her long for things that will not be for her own profit, because he promises her a freedom. which she cannot receive, and which he knew that she could not receive. He knew it by his own experience, because he has now been bound. He is bound in chains, we read, of darkness. What does he say? He says, "For God doth know." Then he cast the Lord in an evil light. Satan ever do that to you? To cast the Lord in an evil light. He says, "God doth know." God is maliciously keeping you under. He keeps you as a slave. He binds you. He does not give you that true freedom. He is unjust. He is not kind. He is not generous. Oh, does Satan ever cast the Lord in an evil light? Does he ever set before your eyes the Lord as one who is unjust? In his electing grace, in reprobation, that the Lord will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, then he hardeneth? Does Satan then cast him in a light whereby you will begin to despise the Lord and his holy word? And so we read of the fall of mankind, step by step, one after the other, instigated by the devil, because had there been no instigation, Adam and Eve, they were as a tree that was bent, that was hanging to one side. What will happen when you cut it down, children? A tree that is leaning all to one side. What happens when you cut it down? It falls only to that one side. That is the way it was with Adam and Eve. Their nature, there was nothing in it that desired evil. There was nothing in it that desired sin. And thus, had there been no instigation, had there been no temptation, there had been no fall. And yet, that fall, that was not the devil's fall. No, the devil had fallen. This was the fall of man. What does Eve do? We see the first step. And what is that first step? Well, she begins to discuss with the devil. She entertains the suggestions that are given to her. What does James say? He says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." What did the Lord Jesus say? He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." What did Eve do? She gave him a chair. She sat next to him. And she said, "Tell me now more." And she enters into a discussion. And she considers now what the devil has to say. And when the devil, he says, "You shall not surely die." Then she looks. That is the next step. She looks upon that tree. What do we read? She saw. Oh, that eye gate. That eye gate, that is the place where temptation that is entering in. Where's the sin? Out there? No. In here. We heard that. In here. The Lord Jesus said, "Out of the heart proceedeth all wickedness." But that eye gate, that is where the temptation, so much temptation, is entering in. Therefore, Job, he says, he made a covenant with his eyes. You ever make a covenant? With your eyes, she saw. And she saw that it was a tree that was desired to make one wise. When she looked, she saw then the desires. The desires, they are beginning to well up within her heart. Once those desires, they are welling up, well, then we read that she took and she ate. Why? Because Satan forced her. Because Satan took her hand and made her to do it. No. No was her decision. Freely. She had perfect ability to say, Satan, God hath said. And she even did say it. And she even corrected the devil. She said, you do not have to cast him in an evil light. No, God, he has said we may eat of all the trees of the garden. And yet, that choice, that will, then she has taken, and she did it, and she gave it to her husband. Gave it to her husband, and he did eat. That is now the completion of that sin. That was a steep slope. A steep slope. Once it began, well then, it was all so easy. Then it just went. It's like that, is it not, young people? Once it starts, then it just goes, doesn't it? That is a steep slope. Sin. And then Satan, he had the victory. The victory with the assault on the human race. Even that head of the covenant, himself had not spoken to him. He had gone through that most tender part. And he took and he did eat. And then the judge came. The judge came. And we see in the second thought for a moment the declaration of war. What does the Lord say? He speaks to the devil. We cannot do everything, but he speaks to our parents, but he speaks then to the devil. He says, I will put enmity. He declares war. Enmity between thee and the woman. The woman, she had just made friends. You ever make a friend? Children. She had just made friends with whom? She had just made friends with the devil. Against the commandment of the Lord. It was against the love of the Lord. It was against the goodness of the Lord. And she made friends with the enemy of the Lord. That was the intention of Satan. And now he thought, I have them. I have them. And now they are mine. And now they are mine forever. Are you ever afraid of that? You feel that you are his. Forever? What did the Lord say? He said, oh no. Oh no, devil. Oh no, Satan. He says, because I will put enmity. You think to have made a friend, but I will put enmity. It is the declaration of war. And I will put that enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It is a declaration of war between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of Satan in this world. Thy seed and her seed. Who declared it? The man. God. That is now the great change that comes in the life of a man in regeneration. Do you know what you receive in regeneration? You receive an enemy. Nay, you receive enemies. Why? Because that is the warfare that the Lord has declared between the church and the kingdom of Satan. And when that people will enter into his kingdom, then the first thing that the Lord is putting in that people is enmity. I have come to set a man at variance, the Lord says, at variance. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. And then at the very entrance of that people into that church of God, then they begin to hate. Did you ever begin to hate? You say that Christian people, they are a people of love. That is true. Do you love the Lord? But in that people, there is a hatred because they begin to hate now the things that they have always loved. And they begin to love the things that they used to hate. That is the entrance of that people into that living church. It is the entrance of that people when the Lord, he is signing them up, young people. He signs them up in the military. That is, in that church militant, enmity born in their heart. Where does that come from? Just themselves? That is not a fruit of their own field. Ask them. It is not a fruit of their own field. Then they experience in their life too much love. Love for the world. Love for sin. Love for vanity. A carnal heart. And yet, the Lord says, enmity. That is now his work. And it is sure, he says, I will do it. And therefore it is also a mark of that true church of God. John, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why? Because God, he says, I will put enmity. Is there also enmity then in your heart? Let us sing. 110, 1 and 2. Thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore, but let thy kindness and thy truth preserve me evermore. 1 and 2 of Psalter 110. our last thought, the victory promised in this warfare. How frightening that must have been for our first parents when they heard the declaration of this warfare. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Why? Well, our parents, they have immediately experienced the consequences of their sin. Because immediately they have felt the guilt arise up in their soul, so that they were not able to stand anymore before their Maker, who they experienced in these moments also to be their judge. And not only so, but they experienced the corruption that has now entered into them, so that they have tried to cover their nakedness with fig leaves. Indeed, their eyes had gone open. They have seen the deceit. They have experienced the falsehood of the devil. They had gained the knowledge of evil, but they had lost the knowledge of good. And it was their own fault. They had rejected the Lord. They had despised His goodness. They had despised His commandments. And they had chosen for the enemy of the Lord. But that is not all. Because they have also experienced the power of the devil. They experienced the power of his temptations, of his assaults, and they have themselves just been overcome by the deceit of the temptations of the devil. Thus Satan was just victorious in leading them into sin, into disobedience. They have just experienced defeat in their dealings with the devil. And now the Lord, He declares a warfare between whom? Between her and the devil, and between their seed. And thus this declaration could not but have filled our first parents with horror, because they have experienced themselves to be too weak, even in the state of their innocence, falling for his temptations. Thus, what shall it be now in their weakness? What shall it be in the state of death? But immediately, the Lord, He declares, for the sake of our parents and their posterity, He declares the victory that is going to be had in this warfare. How is that? Because you will say, boys and girls, Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, he has boasted against Ahab, king of Israel. He says, thy wives and thy sons and thy daughters, they are all mine. What did Ahab say? He said, let not him that putteth on his harness boast as him that putteth it off. He said, you're just beginning. We did not begin to fight yet. The war has yet to come. He said, don't be too hasty in declaring yourself to be a victor before that we have even begun to fight. and now the Lord. When that warfare is just about to begin, and the Lord, He declares already the victory at the very outset, because He says, "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." What is that? Well, He says, the seed of that woman that is going to be victorious. And thus we have the first prophecy. The first prophecy of the Messiah who was to come immediately upon the sin of our first parents, when they are standing in the very first awful feelings of guilt, of shame, in all their poverty, in all of their helplessness, that the Lord, He is coming to declare that though that war that will now be from the beginning unto the end of the world, that He is going to send the Messiah, and that Messiah, He is going to fight Himself, and He is going to overcome the enemy in that warfare. The first revelation, the first promise of the advent of Christ in that declaration, in that very declaration, something of that Messiah is already revealed to the church. Do you hear it, young people? What is it? What may be known of the Messiah in this declaration? What does it say? It says, it will be the seed of the woman. Thus, the Lord, He declares the Messiah that He shall be of that human race. It is a promise of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a promise that He shall come in the flesh, that He shall come for the help of the people, and that He shall completely deliver them in all their need in this warfare that is between them and that prince of darkness. And therefore, for 4,000 long, long years, Church of God, who may be born and who are born into that warfare, they have been looking forward to the coming of this promised Messiah in that first revelation already, declaring Himself to be the victor, to overcome the devil, and that on behalf of His church, that victory that is sure. There is nothing unquestionable about it. God Himself has declared the warfare. God Himself, He has declared the victory in that warfare. Did that church then know everything about the Messiah? No. They did not even know, it is not yet revealed, that He would be divine. It says that He will be the seed of the woman, but it does not yet say He will be divine, but it says that He will gain the victory. Thus, there is a prophecy of the power of that Messiah over the power of Satan. It is true, it says something else. It says also that the heel of that Messiah, that shall be bruised. So Satan, he will be given permission to persecute Him and to take Him, because the Lord, He will Himself put Him to grief. And thus Satan, He will be given a certain power that he may persecute Christ, and not only Christ himself, but also his church, so that there shall be a perpetual warfare, and he will have a certain power against that church even to the end of the world. So we have a declaration that the life of every one of the people is going to be a warfare. The life of every one of the true church is going to be a struggle. And yet, the outcome of that struggle is not uncertain. The head, he says, the head of that serpent, that is going to be crushed. It is going to be bruised. He is going to be overcome by that seed of that woman. Thus, he speaks actually about the fatal blow. When was that fatal blow given to the devil? That is very ironic. Because it was at that moment that the devil thought to give the fatal blow unto the seed of the woman. Then the people, they cried, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And he was crucified, and he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. And then Satan rejoiced, and all his seed, because now he thought he had given to him that fatal blow. And he thought that he had bruised his head. But do you know what we read? It was in that very moment that veil of the temple was rent in twain. Not beginning at the bottom, no, but beginning at the top. From the top, the work of the Lord, not the work of wearing, but the work of the Lord, to rip it right in half. It was at that very moment that Satan thought to bruise the head of the seed of the woman, that by that very deed of Satan, that seed of the woman has bruised that head of that serpent. In that very moment, that God himself declared that there was nothing anymore that was standing between him and his people, was in that very moment that veil that was rent, and that way was opened for that people to return again into that blessed favor of the Lord. It was in that very moment when that head of that serpent was bruised that God the Father declared the sin of all his church that is completely forgiven, and that there is nothing anymore that is standing in the way of a blessed reconciliation between him and his people. Oh, Satan, he has lost his prey in that moment forever and forever. Oh, congregation, what do we know of enmity? What do we know of this enmity? Does enmity live in your heart? It is the enmity that is declared to be the portion of that true church of God. Thus did sin, did Satan, did world, did that ever become to you an enemy? Because if not, then we are not enlisted in that church militant by a new birth. The Lord Jesus, he says, you cannot serve God and mammon. If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. That is true. That is the command. And yet what is the complaint of that true church? What does David say? He says, my soul that cleaveth unto the dust. Oh, that is, as long as the people are in this world. But what was that to him? It was a burden to him. Did it ever become your burden? Because David, he says, quicken thou me according to thy word. Thus he had a desire to be delivered from something. Delivered from something? From what, boys and girls? Delivered from something? Oh, he had a desire to be delivered from dust. A desire to be delivered from sin. But he could not do it. He did not have the power. Therefore, he was asking the Lord for this quickening. What is that? Do you hear it? It is warfare, isn't it? It is warfare. Why? Because the love for that sin that is not immediately gone. Oh, that flesh. Paul speaks about it. Read Romans 7. He speaks about it. That warfare between that work of the Lord and the work of my own flesh. And that Satan, he is always after yet that heel of Christ. Always after that church of Christ. Is that your burden too? Do you ever fear? Are you ever afraid that you are going to succumb under that burden? Are you ever afraid? Because you feel you have no strength against it. You hear the depth of that pit. Thou shalt not covet. This, you say, is not just my outward sin. No, this is my nature. This lives in me. This is who I am. I cannot deliver myself from this. This is going to overcome me at the last. What does the Lord speak about here? The Lord, he is making a promise unto his own church. And it is about the victory. A victory for those who are in that warfare. If we are not in that warfare, then there is nothing, no victory to be had. But for those now in that warfare, then the Lord has promised 6,000 years ago already that that victory, that is completely sure. There are two things that are declared here. First, the war. Is it true? Is it true? The warfare between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Is that true in your life? Are there fears for this? Being overcome? Are you too weak? But something else is true too. The one is true. The other is true too. The young one is experienced, and the other, that is also one day going to be experienced by that church. Oh, true, the heel, but Satan, he can but as it were bite at those horses' heels, but his head is bruised. What does the Lord Jesus say? He said it to his disciples, oh, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. or with your first parents, you have sinned it all away. With your first parents, you deserve to be cast forever away. But that unconditional promise of the Lord for His church on behalf of His defeated people that is standing forever and forever sure. It shall bruise thy head. And so there is really nothing left for that people but to rejoice. Oh, they rejoiced when David, he came back. They said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. That is now to be the rejoicing of his church forever and forever in this warfare. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, that we may know of the warfare, that we may know of the victory, then thou wilt be glorified, beginning here by a church that is saved by hope, and soon by a church whose eyes they will go completely open, and then they will see thee, and then they shall know thee as thou art. Oh, that thou may remember all the church militant. Strengthen them this day. Oh, give them to see thee. Give them to believe in thee. Oh, that their hope may be in thee, and that they may receive a little rest and a little peace, and that their hands may be taught to war and their fingers to fight, even until the last breath, and not to deliver themselves, but in order that thy name may be glorified. Forgive thou all our sins, also of this hour, in speaking and in listening, and crown thy word with thy blessing. Help us in the week to come, each one in our place in this world. Give us especially a place at thy footstool, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 319 stanzas 3, 4, and 5. In bondage of distress and grief, to God I cried and sought relief. In wondrous love He heard my plea and set my soul at liberty. 3, 4, and 5 of 319. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.